A very good morning to you. I want to wish all youth a blessed Youth Day. The Youth Day in Singapore is instituted for the purpose of recognizing the youth in our society. They are our hope and future of our nation. What is the significance of the Youth Day in the church? Some churches do not even mention it. In New Life, over here, we put in our church calendar every first Sunday of July as Youth Day. The reason is we want to convey to our young people some messages. Number one, we want to tell you that you are precious to your parents and also to the church. I'm sure your parents loved you. There's no doubt about that. And as your pastor, I want to tell you, every one of you young men and women, the church loves you and values you. We want to do everything we can to engage you and to help you grow up to be a man and woman of God, to be confident, to bear witness for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, wherever you may be. Secondly, I want you young people to treasure the people around you, particularly your parents, loved ones. In church, build up strong ties and friendship with fellow believers. Now, some of you are spending too much time in the cyber world. I think young people, you know what I mean. You are on the internet most of the time. And what are you doing on the net? Well, playing games, chatting. Some of you are reading all the 八卦新闻. Now, the Chinese word means reading materials that are hardly educational or informative. In fact, the words are taken to mean gossip and speculative talks. Young people, I hope to carry this message to you, that you should be spending more time in the real world. That is to spend time with your loved ones. And I want to add, to spend time in the church, because you are Christians. Now, this morning, I want to share this message with our youth. Let no man despise thy youth. However, there is also a message for the adults. Help our youth to be responsible and to do the right thing. Our scripture text is taken from 1 Timothy chapter 4, and the main verse will be in verse 12, and I'll also touch on verse 13. Now, let me say something about the text. Paul wrote to his protege, Timothy, who was already a pastor himself. Paul met young Timothy during his second missionary journey. Timothy then joined Paul in his traveling and learned firsthand from the apostle himself the work of a missionary. I'm sure Timothy was a keen learner and showed evidence of his calling to serve in the ministry. For this reason, Paul later on sent him to Ephesus to pastor the thriving church there. Now, based on the short historical account, we can make a guess. When Timothy received the first epistle to him from Paul, he was no longer a very young man. Most Bible commentators will put his age at about 40 to 50 years old. However, to the Apostle Paul, Timothy was still a young man. He wrote, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, and in purity." Now, I want to say that the verse is relevant for many of us in this congregation. I think 2/3 of our church membership is in this age range, 50 years and below. The exhortation is, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. Now, I've outlined the message simply into two parts based on that verse. First of all, I want to see the command, let no man despise thy youth. If you know Greek, you know that the grammar there is in the imperative mood, and Paul is saying, I want to tell you this, and this is imperative. Let no man despise thy youth. And then the second part of the outline will be thou an example of the believers. Let's look at the first outline. Let no man despise thy youth. Now, based on this statement, I want you to see four observations. Number one, there is a possibility that youth can be despised. Now, older members, what are your perception of the youth in our church? An elderly couple who visited Singapore some years ago made this comment to me. The youth are rude and disrespectful. One day, they were in the city sightseeing, and a group of youth were having fun, and bumped onto them. Instead of saying sorry, the young people glared at them. Another comment about youth is they are self-absorbing. A self-absorbing person is one who is thinking of himself or herself, his or her own feeling. But such a person does not consider the feeling of others. In many ways, this person is selfish. From the car park to the block where I live is a covered laneway. I think many of you who stay HDB flat knows that, you know, the relevant authority has built this laneway from the car park, multi-story car park, to where we live. All right, and we are thankful for that because we are shielded from the rain and the sun. When it was built, it has this 2 feet high partition wall. The purpose is for the elderly people to rest when they are tired. Today, HDB put up grills to prevent people from sitting on it. Why? Because the residents complain that students from the nearby school are congregating there. And in many occasions, boys and girls are locked in tight embrace. Once I saw 2 primary school students in that position. I'm sure you have witnessed this kind of scenario in public transport. Now, it is strange that they could be doing such thing, totally oblivious of the crowd around them. Youth are often looked down on because of their attitude and behavior that are annoying or immature. In this sense, they can be despised. They are regarded as disrespectful, rude, childish, immature, selfish, and then sometimes obnoxious. Now, is that what we want people to perceive of you, young people? Obviously not. All right? But what I want to impress upon you is this. It is possible, right, because of your conduct and behavior, you may be despised. Secondly, there is wisdom in the thoughts of the adult. And I want young people to listen to this statement. You should not be indifferent to what the adults think. Paul is telling Timothy to do what he can as a young man to keep that despising from happening. Don't be indifferent to what older people think. Care about it. Take steps to win their approval. So Paul says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in words, that is in your speech, in conversation. We know that the word conversation means your conduct, your behavior. In charity, your love. In spirit, in faith, in your belief, and in purity, maintaining pureness in life. Now, youth have their preconceived opinion of adults. Do you have? I've heard things like old-fashioned, outdated parents. Out of date, outdated parents. Young people, let me say this to you. Or let me tell you this. That whether your parents are old-fashioned or not, I don't know. But I'm very sure they have your best interests in their hearts. I'm the father of two children. And whenever I say something or my wife says something to them, it is always out of a pure motive and their best interest in our hearts. And I'm sure all parents are like that. So I want to say to you young people, listen to them. If you think there is a better way in doing that certain thing, then discuss it with your parents. They too want to learn. Do not say to your parents, you know nothing. Now, such an attitude is insolent and is unacceptable. The book of Proverbs has much to say about listening to your parents. Let me quote a few verses to you. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, the wise man says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Okay. Chapter 6, verse 20, my son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. And then in chapter 23, verse 22, Solomon says, hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. The third observation, there is a need for youth to look to God's standard, ultimately. Young people, you must know what God expects of you. In doing so, then can you be examples to others and not be despised by others. I want to say this to parents. Don't try to make our children conform to our standard. We must know God's standard and influence our children to follow the way of the Lord. When our children follow God's word and do His will, we should be happy. Remember when I was teaching in a Bible school, a student came to see me. She said that her parents were very disappointed with her because she did not choose to study medicine. She actually got a place in med school. Instead, she went to Bible college. One of the saddest thing that I've heard from a father is this. He says, I want my son to marry a doctor. And he chose a girl who did not even finish an A-level certificate. Now, I want to know, where does the Bible say that a young man must marry a girl who is a doctor? You see, the father imposed his ideal on the son. Now, the big question is not what qualification your in-laws have, but concerning marriage, are they believers or not? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 tells us very clearly, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? So parents, what are you looking at when you are looking at your future son or daughter-in-law? Are you looking at qualification? Are you looking at the family's background, social status? You know, in our flesh, we think we tend to look at this perspective. But is that what God wants? Is that the way we want to choose our future in-laws? What I'm trying to impress upon you this morning is not just choosing in-laws. I'm just using what I have experienced in the past, the two incidents which I've just quoted, to tell you that it is very important that we have scriptural principle. You see, if you do not have and you want to impose your standard on your children, of course you will be disappointed. But the question is that right for you to be disappointed because it is your standard? I would that all of us would know what God's standard is and choose to follow the standard of God. So concerning marriage and life partnership, we know that marriage union should be between a man and a woman who are both believers. Because it is clear in the Bible that we should not be unequally yoked. I want you to note what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. He said, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Now, wisdom and understanding God's will are two important things, and they are related. Okay. The Bible says that we should not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. See, if we do not understand God's will, we are unwise. We do not have wisdom. Now, where do we get wisdom? Solomon says in the book of Proverbs that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And he also says in chapter 1, verse 7, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. See, God's word gives us knowledge. And that divine knowledge will be translated into godly wisdom when we put them into practice. So do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So young people, I want you to pray, asking what is God's will for you, for your life, for your career, for your life partnership. You know, sometimes we choose based on what we like. That's a beautiful girl. That's a handsome man. So I choose that person. Is that how you choose your life partnership? I hope you take time to seek God. And not only pertaining to your friends, life partner, but you should be praying that God guides you in your career. And I also want you to pray, asking God to guide you, how you may serve Him in the church. Now, how many of you young people have prayed, asking God to guide you here in New Life BP Church? Asking God to show you how you can serve, how you can contribute to the church. Have you done that? Sadly, I say that not many of you have prayed. Right? I'm sure you have prayed which school you should go to, what course you should study, you know. Well, these are fine. You should be praying for these things. I hope you will not forget to pray, God, lead me to an area where I can serve you. And God deserves to be served. If we call Him Lord and Master, then what place has He in our life? Well, I know you know the answer. First place. But oftentimes that first place is given to someone else or something else. Is that your desire to come to church to worship God this morning, young people? Maybe you thought, I want a little bit more sleep. I've not finished the game last night. I want to continue. or that video show. I've not seen the last series of it. Is that what is in your mind? Or in your mind, you say, I've decided that I want to set apart Sunday morning to come and worship God. Seek God's will. Pray that the Lord lead you in the path of righteousness. Now, the fourth observation. I want to tell you that there is no surprise when Christian youth are despised for doing right. Now, I want you to underscore the last two words, doing right. See, when you are doing right, you may be despised. The world has set norms for youth today. But Christian youth should not blindly follow the norms of the world. Many areas of the worldly norms are not biblical and not morally right. I read in a magazine that it's a norm for a young man to have a girlfriend at the age of 18. So if you are 18 and you don't have a girlfriend or a boyfriend, you are not normal. Now the question is, who set this standard? Obviously, it is not in the Word of God. I want you to listen, young people. It is right to reject invitation to the pub, to discotheque, to smoke cigarette, to drink alcohol, and even sexual advances by your friends. If your friends want you to participate in or to do things that are morally or scripturally wrong, have courage to say no. Now, why are you so afraid to say no to these friends? Are you afraid to lose this kind of friends? I hope you will have this principle set in your heart. If I have a friend who wants me to do the wrong thing, I wouldn't want to have this friend. I'm ready to lose such a friend. But sadly, many youth do not have the courage to say no. But young men and young women in this congregation, I want to remind you again that you are Christians. You are our children of God. You know the truth. The truth must empower you and give you the courage to say no to the world and its ungodly influences. If you do right, the world will despise you. Simply because the world is evil, it will make friends with those who are evil. If you are righteous, it hates you. I want you to listen to what the Lord Jesus says in John chapter 17 and verse 14. I've given them thy word, and the world had hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. The Lord Jesus has said long ago that the world will hate you because you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. The world will love its own and hate those who oppose it. I hope you will oppose the world, but I hope you understand what the world is. I think some months back, we have a speaker who came. He spoke on the theme, Love Not the World, based on 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world. And he told us what the world is. Let me simply define the world as a system that is controlled by the evil one, and this system is evil. It is anti-God, anti-Christ, and obviously anti-Christian. Young men and women, we should have nothing to do with this evil system of the world. There are so many good things that we can be involved in, but why aren't we doing what is pleasing in God's sight? I hope we have the courage to do right and reject the evil. Let's come to the second part of the outline. Paul said to Timothy, be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Now hear what the word of God says. Be thou an example. Young people, you are to be exemplary in your speech, conduct, and purity. Now the question is, be example to who? Paul says to Timothy, be thou an example of the believers. And there was no qualification in the matter of the age. In other words, young people, you are to be exemplary to the believers, both young and old. See, you are to be a good example to your peers. You are to be good example to the adults. But then you say, oh no, you know, isn't that true that adults should be example to the young people? Yes, adults should be a young, should be good example to the young. But if you look at the word of God this morning, it is clear that Paul wants young people to know that you are also called to set an example for the adults. So it's be thou an example of the believers. In other words, all the believers. So, young men and women, I hope you realize this, that you are to set a godly example before the believers. And I want to add that your good work should be evident before all men. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now I'm sure you know that this verse is written to all Christians, both young and old. And let your light so shine before men. In other words, all men. See, young people, your light must shine in the church. With good works, you glorify your Father in heaven. I want to say that your light should also shine before the unbelieving world, that they too may see your good work and give God the Father the glory. Now, how can you develop an exemplary life? I want to offer 4 points here. First of all, you must be a new man in Christ. Now, this is a very obvious point. But I want to impress upon you that it is necessary for you to be a new man in Christ in order to be exemplary to others. Young people, do you believe in Jesus? I hope all of you will say, I do. Now, then the question is, what is to believe in Jesus Christ? During the interview for reaffirmation of faith, when asked why I believe in Jesus, many young people say, my parents told me so. Now this is a good sign. Parents are concerned with their children's salvation and they are impressing upon their children the necessity to accept Christ as Savior. But young people, you must know the reason for accepting Jesus as your personal Savior. Do you know the reason? The reason is, all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin separates men from God. Jesus came to die for our sin, and by his death reconciles man to God. If man rejects Jesus, you'll be separated from God eternally. This means he's lost and his destiny is hell. Now, young people, you must be fully convinced of this reality. Therefore, the true reason for believing in Jesus Christ is this. because I am a sinner and I'm separated from God because of my sin, I need to be saved. Now I trust all of you in this congregation believe in Jesus and are saved. The next question is, are you living a new life in Christ? We know Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, we can recite that verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. As believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we should discard the old way of life, particularly sinful way of life and habits, and then bring in things that are new. We should have new desire, and in particular, the desire for God and His Word. Unfortunately, some people claim to be Christians, but their lives do not commensurate the profession of faith. Now, I'm not disputing their salvation. I'm not arguing whether these people are safe or not. But what I want to tell you this is this, that these people cannot be exemplary to others, particularly to the unbelievers. See, the Bible is clear regarding the lives of genuine believers. We are to put off the old man, put off the things pertaining to the old ways of life, and to put on the new man. Please read Colossians chapter 3, the entire chapter, and you will see that Paul is explicit when he says that we are to put off the old man and put on the new man. And he tells us what are the lifestyle that pertains to the old man. Lying, cheating, hatred. These are old life. And then put on the new man. Love for others. Sincere, godly. Desire for holiness. So if you want to be an example to others, first thing you must ask God to give you is a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, be a follower of Christ. Now in the first point, I say a genuine Christian lives a new life. The second point, he is a follower of Christ. Young people, I want to tell you that you must be a full-time follower of Christ. In other words, you follow Christ every moment of your life. Some are not. Because part of the time, they are following someone else. Who is distracting you from following Christ wholeheartedly? Is it your boyfriend, girlfriend? Is that your hobbies, like playing computer games, watching videos, television program, or even simply your slothfulness? Now, I've said this many times. How can your family members, neighbors, and anyone else know that you are a Christian if you don't go to church on Sunday? Please remember that you are a full-time Christian. You follow Christ all the time, right? Now, I'm not asking you to go into full-time Christian service, but I'm telling you that you are a full-time Christian. Right? The name tag Christian should not be taken away just because you are somewhere that God doesn't want you to be there. You wear that name tag all the time. Once a rich man or rich young ruler came to Jesus and asked him, "What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" The Lord said to him, "Do you know the commandments?" The young man replied, "All these have I observed from my youth." I think many of you young people here are second generation Christians, perhaps third. In other words, your parents, grandparents are Christian. I'm sure when someone asks you, "Do you know the commandment?" Yeah, you know. Have you observed it? Probably like this young rich ruler. I've observed it all my youth. Listen to what the Lord said to him. One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, pick up the cross and follow me. You see, the Lord is dealing with these rich young rulers in two ways. One, pertaining to his salvation. Two, concerning his discipleship. If he's willing to forsake all and follow Christ, he's saved and he becomes a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sadly, we are told in the Bible that the rich young ruler was grieved at the words of Jesus. Why? Because he could not part with his money. Money was very important to him. Because of his love for money, he rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And he lost his salvation and the opportunity to become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Young people, what keeps you from following Christ? No man can serve two masters. He cannot serve God and mammon. You have to decide, who do you want to serve? If you cannot decide who you want to serve, you'll never reach a point where you can be a godly example to others. Some of you think you are too young to follow Christ. You're not ready to serve. Now, I want to say this to young children. This idea is wrong. When God called Jeremiah, he said, Jeremiah said, "Oh, but I'm only a child. I can't speak." Please read Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. But listen to what the Lord said to him. "Say not that I'm a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak." Young children, you can be bearing fruits for the Lord Jesus Christ. I still remember the first church I went to. The church has a kindergarten, very much like what we have here. We have Bible story told to the kids. And there was this little girl who went back to tell the grandmother about Jesus Christ. That little girl of 6 years old led the grandmother to the saving knowledge of Christ. I remember talking to the elderly lady one day, and she said she's so thankful that the little granddaughter attended the church kindergarten. See, she witnessed. How did she witness? It was so simple. She related what she has heard in school, the Bible story. And she told her grandmother, "It's very good to believe in Jesus. You'll become very happy." Of course, that is not the very right idea. But somehow, that simple, innocent statement led the grandmother to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Little children, you too can be a witness. You know, if I try to preach the gospel to someone elderly, she's going to say, "I've eaten more salt than you eat rice," right? Yeah, she's going to tell me that. But it's interesting that no elderly person will tell a little child this same statement. The third thing. Just now, Elder Sel took us to the memory verse in Titus chapter 2. Verses 6 to 8. Let me read to you again. "Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity." Let me add, in verse 8, "sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." Now, young people, be sober-minded. Now, this is so important. Because if you look at the world, they're behaving in a manner that does not show that they are thinking, and much more, thinking right. Now, the word sober-minded in the original language has several shades of meaning. The first one is to be of the sound mind. Right? Young people, we must be mentally sound. The word is often used in contrast to someone who is drunk. When a person is drunk, he's under the influence of alcohol. Obviously, he is not able to think correctly. The result is his action and behavior are foolish and sometimes sinful. But young people, our life should be the opposite of one who is drunk. Sound mind. You are able to think very carefully. Now, young girls, if a young man or a man entice you to sin, are you able to think soundly and say no? Or are you going to say, oh, I love him so much so I can give him anything he wants? Be of the sound mind. Next shade of meaning, to exercise self-control. So when Paul says be sober-minded, he's saying exercise self-control. Are we doing that? Yes, you're tired, I know, after days in schools, rushing through your homework, you know. But then when it comes to habits of sleep, or even habit of using the computer, watching the TV, are you exercising self-control in your life? You want to be an example to your parents, to your grandparents? Exercise self-control. Lastly, the word sober-minded may also mean to curb one's passion. Right. Young people, I know you are very passionate. But I want to tell you that your passion must be channeled to the correct place. If your passion and energy is not at the right place, doing the right thing, you can do things that are disastrous. I want to channel your energy and passion to the church. Can you do that? Can you say, I want to serve God? I want to do something for the Lord. If that is your desire, come to see us. We'll tell you what you can do. Right? I mean, I happen to see the choir here. Maybe you can join the choir. So be sober-minded, young people. Lastly, something very straightforward. Be growing spiritually. Now, please look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. Do I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Now, I want to tell you that the word reading means the reading of God's word. We know that. To exhortation, the word exhortation there means the preaching of the word of God, to doctrine, that is to the teaching of God's word. Now, I want you to look at the two words, give attendance. Now, what does Paul mean when he says, till I come, give attendance to the reading? I was looking at the various commentary, and I saw Reinicke and Rogers' book, Linguistic Key to Greek New Testament, and they say this, that the word give attendance in Greek, just one word, means a previous preparation in private. I thought this explanation, definition, is very good. Paul was instructing Timothy to do the work of the ministry, that is, public reading of the scripture, preaching the word of God to the church he was ministering in, teaching the word of God to the saved and the unsaved. In order for Timothy to be effective in his ministry, he must first prepare himself for this ministry. And he can do so by giving attendance to reading, to the listening of the preaching of God's word, and to the teaching of the word of God by godly men, particularly by Paul himself. So giving attendance, his previous preparation in private. You see, there was this preparation of Timothy for the ministry. You know, he didn't rush him. Paul did not put a novice into the ministry. Paul saw Timothy. He was reading, studying, right? And I'm sure he went to church listening to the teaching of Paul very intently. And having been trained, he's now given that same ministry that Paul had to teach others the word of God. I want to sum up 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13 as simply grow spiritually. Are you growing spiritually? Young people, you cannot say, no, I'm young, I can't be spiritually matured. You can be matured spiritually. You must not be feeding on milk all the time. Paul says you must come to a point that you can feed on meat. It's up to you. I hope you have the desire to be fed with meat. Conclusion. I want to say to you young people, do not set low expectations. You aim high not for yourself, but for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not let the world convey the wrong message that you're too young to be religious. You are not called to be religious. You are called to be a Christian, to set an example for adults to see. Next, set high standard for yourself. You see, there's a lot of trash in the world. Do not pick up this trash and use them in your life. For example, vulgar language or behavior that is annoying and considered immature. So don't set low expectation. Set high standard, young people. Parents, I want you to turn with me to Psalm 144, verse 12. Psalm 144, verse 12. Let this be your prayers. 144, verse 12. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters be as a cornerstone polished after the similitude of a palace. Now, this is the desire of David. That his children be as grown up plant while they are in their youth. What David is saying is this, that I hope my children, though they may be young, but they are matured. Pray that the Lord will bless your children with spiritual maturity. Pray and pray for them. May God raise up from our church godly young men and women who can be great witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the instruction of your word to the young people and also to the parents. Help us to take heed to your word. Lord, I pray for our young people that they will be established in your word. They will be strong, steadfast in the world, that they will not be swayed by errors and practices that are unscriptural and morally wrong. Give them the courage to say no. preserve our young people. We want to commit each one of them into your loving hand. Hear these our prayers, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.